first wind energy conference and exhibition. Iran's interior minister outlines presidential election plans. Iran condemns attack on home of Bahraini cleric Sheikh Qasem. And Iranian defense minister says France is returning to medieval times. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iran and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Iran's Energy Research Institute has hosted the first national conference and exhibition on wind energy in the capital Tehran on Sunday. The conference focused on the Islamic Republic's achievements in the field of energy. Among the participants of the event were Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, a number of his administration officials, experts and students from 80 universities throughout the country. During the conference, the Iranian president said the Islamic Republic of Iran should play a role in global management. The president stressed that having high level of self-esteem would lead to major changes. He added Iranians should make great progress relying on their rich culture, civilization and history. Iran ranks 14 in the world in terms of electricity generation. The country provides electricity to neighboring countries such as Turkmenistan, Armenia, Iraq, and Pakistan. Iran's interior minister says over 66,000 polling stations will be set up nationwide and 285 others abroad for the upcoming 11th presidential elections. Mustafa Mohammad Najjar noted that 1,040 executive teams will be in charge of monitoring the polls in the June elections. He added the Guardian Council would announce the names of the approved hopefuls to the Interior Ministry on Tuesday. Mohammad Najjar said, once the final list is submitted to the Interior Ministry, it has a two-day deadline to announce the names of candidates to the public, adding that, during that period, the Interior Ministry will be holding a meeting with the approved candidates to brief them on the do's and don'ts of their electoral campaigns. The registration for the 11th presidential election of Iran ended on May 11 with 686 individuals having signed up for the race. The president of Iran is elected for a four-year term in a national election. Meanwhile, Iran's Central Supervisory Board of Elections said it has approved up to 95% of the hopefuls who signed up for the upcoming city and rural council elections. The body said only 1% of those disapproved have submitted complaints to the board for further review. The board said around 300,000 hopefuls have signed up for the race. The body further added that a final list of approved hopefuls would be released nationwide on May 25 and they will be permitted to begin campaigning after that date. The fourth city and rural council elections are scheduled to be held on June 14, concurrent with Iran's 11th presidential polls. The city and village Islamic councils are local establishments that are elected by a public vote in all cities and villages across Iran. Council members in each city or village are elected for a four-year term. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman has condemned the raid by Bahraini forces on the house of a prominent Shiite cleric Ayatollah Sheikh Isa Ahmad Qasem. Abu Sarakchi said, Iran strongly condemns this inappropriate move and stresses that acts of insult against senior clerics, attacking people's houses, and employing violence would have no result but the complication of the situation. The remark came 2 days after Bahraini forces raided and searched Sheikh Isa Qasem's house in the village of Daraz. The Iranian official said, the only solution to Bahrain's crisis was adopting political methods and paying attention to and realizing popular demands. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman reiterated Iran's readiness to employ its capacities for helping Bahrain resolve the crisis in a transparent and public manner. Iran has executed two spies who worked for the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency CIA and the Zionist regime spy agency, the Mossad. The two men, who were sentenced to death by Tehran's Revolutionary Court, were hanged at dawn on Sunday. The Mossad agent, identified as Mohammad Haidari, has been found guilty of collecting Iranian classified information and providing the intelligence to the Zionist regime's spy agency in the course of several meetings outside the Islamic Republic. Haidari had received sums of money from Mossad in return for the acts of espionage. The other spy, Khurush Ahmadi, was convicted of contacting CIA agents and providing them with intelligence on Iran. Iranian Defense Minister says France's call for decisive sanctions against Iran over its nuclear energy program shows the return of Paris to measures characteristic of medieval times. Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi made the remark after French Defense Minister on Friday called on the U.S. and European nations to take decisive sanctions against Iran over its nuclear energy program. Vahidi said such remarks show the colonialist nature of French leaders. He added that with such remarks, they confessed that sanctions have so far been ineffective and futile, and now they seek to impose effective sanctions. He advised French officials to seek ways to resolve the crises and problems currently faced by French people instead of making such hostile and inhumane remarks. Vahidi further emphasized that despite enemy pressures and threats, the Iranian nation will not abandon its absolute rights and would remain loyal to its principles and ideals. Meanwhile, French Defense Minister said Paris is in talks with the U.S. and Zionist regime to purchase surveillance drones in a bid to enhance its military capabilities. Le Drian said France should build up its capacity to make unmanned aircraft, adding that his country needs the capacity in the short term. The remark came days after reports revealed that, following a deal reached between Paris and Washington, France will buy two American medium-altitude Reaper drones to back up its military operations in Mali. French Air Force, which has already deployed Zionist-made armed unmanned drones to Mali, intends to acquire more modern drones rapidly. Several people are feared dead or injured after a huge explosion rocked the governor's compound in northern Afghanistan. Afghan security sources said the explosion took place in the vicinity of the governor's compound in the capital city of Saripol province in the country's north on Sunday evening. The blast happened in a parking lot located very close to the compound. Eyewitnesses say thick plumes of smoke were seen rising from the governor's complex. There were no immediate reports of casualties from the bomb attack, and no group has claimed responsibility for the incident. Elsewhere, an aircraft operated by the U.S.-led NATO forces has made emergency landing in eastern Afghanistan. NATO said its C-130 plane had a hard landing in Logar province. NATO did not give further information concerning the reasons behind the emergency landing. Several aircraft belonging to the U.S.-led military forces have been downed in recent months in the war-torn country, with Taliban militants claiming to have targeted them. Now, representative of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees hailed Iran's measures to protect and support foreign refugees as well as Afghan and Iraqi immigrants. Bernard Deville said the UNHCR is aimed at supporting the Iranian government for its efforts to protect the refugees living in the country. He said over 880,000 refugees from two countries are presently living in Iran. The UNHCR envoy reiterated that the Islamic Republic of Iran, due to its security and economic stability, stands in the first place in the region for receiving migrants fleeing their war-torn countries. And here's a recap of tonight's top stories. Iran hosts first wind energy conference and exhibition. Iran's interior minister outlines presidential election plans. Iran condemns attack on home of Bahraini cleric Sheikh Qasem. And Iranian Defense Minister says France is returning to medieval times. The Syrian army continues its operations in the central province of Homs to clear the town of Al-Qasr of the foreign-backed militant groups. Syrian forces advance toward the strategic town, which is located on the border with Lebanon. The army says Syrian troops have started entering the town from every front following weeks of battle. Clashes have been reported between Syrian forces and militants in several districts across Qusair. The army says it is making gains in its efforts to clear the area of terrorists. The strategic town, which connects the capital city of Damascus to the Mediterranean coast, has been the focus of fierce clashes in recent weeks. Heavy fighting has also been reported in an eastern suburb of the capital. A number of militants have been killed in the clashes. Due to the lack of funding, the HIV test centers in Greece have brought to a halt their operations. The reason behind the decision was said to be the negative financial deficit and the ongoing economic meltdown imposed on these centers. My colleague has more details on the issue.
The dire economic situation Greeks are going through is spilling over to other crucial public policy areas, including healthcare and the protection of the most vulnerable. Troika-inspired austerity policies have left many Greeks unprotected, bashing the dogma of solely numbers-driven decision-making that has proved economically inefficient and socially unjust. In this context, many HIV test centers have stopped checks since last month due to a lack of funding, given that the Greek state is forced to cut down on spending costs. The announcement came from the Athens Medical Association on May 10th and echoes a general sentiment of depression. According to the statement, the health ministry had blocked the funds which had already been approved for tests in 2012 and 2013. The president of the Athens Medical Association stressed that the country remains unguarded against a huge public health risk, adding that while it has been long established that there is an AIDS epidemic among drug addicts, the minister is destroying the system that shields the country from the disease. In the meanwhile, data acquired by research which was conducted last October by the Hellenic Center for Disease Control and Prevention reveals that the number of HIV/AIDS cases is rising in Greece, with infections among injecting drug users having more than doubled since 2010. Last but not least, austerity measures have cut the budget of the public organization against drugs and drug treatment clinics from 35 million euros in 2010 to 20 million euros in 2012. The economic crisis is hitting hard not just the unemployed but also the least privileged and of course the healthcare system of the country. Despite the efforts to reduce public spending expenditures in the healthcare sector, yet it will take a long time to see a just, a right, a social, a fair and an efficient healthcare system emerge. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Kabar, Athens.
A U.S. police officer shot and killed a 21-year-old female student in the state of New York. Police said the student who lost her life was accidentally shot in the head by police officers during a home invasion robbery. The incident occurred when the victim with her twin sister and another young woman were at her home. There have been several fatal shootings across the United States over the past few months, putting the issue of lax gun control laws back in the spotlight. Every year, more than 30,000 people are shot and killed across the United States. According to the University of Chicago Crime Lab and the Centers for Disease Control, U.S. averages 87 gun deaths each day as a function of gun violence, with an average of 183 injured. Hundreds of people, including parents, students, and teachers, took to the streets in Chicago, U.S. to protest against local education authorities' plan to close public schools. The protest organized by Chicago Teachers Union started on Saturday and is set to last until Monday evening. This comes after the Chicago Central District released a list of 54 elementary and middle schools to be closed before the next school year. The Chicago Board of Education is planning to vote on the closures in the coming days. City officials say the closures are needed in order to deal with a $1 billion annual deficit. In March, thousands of activists, union leaders, teachers, parents, and students participated in a similar protest in the city. The closure involved the highest number of schools to be closed down in a single year in any city in the United States. The plan will shift about 50,000 students to different schools while threatening the careers of more than 1,000 teachers. Researchers are working on a unique method of finding unexploded mines in Croatia. Some 750 square kilometers is still suspected to be filled with mines from Croatia's war in the 1990s, and they are confident that the method will save their country and the rest of the Balkans. Nikola Kizic, a bee behavior expert at Zagreb University, said bees have a perfect sense of smell that can detect the odor of explosives. They are being trained to identify their food by using the scent of TNT, a powerful explosives mix. Kizic said his conclusion is that bees can clearly detect explosives.
The experiment is to condition our bees on the smell of the TNT, this scent which is coming from the TNT. In the center of this scent, we put a reward. We put sugar solution as a reward to condition the bee that they can find food just in the middle of the smell of TNT scent. At the moment, they are using standard procedure, but we would like to introduce also bees to check the field, because bees can cover all the field by one.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of Ryan in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.